That's funny.
Oh, my cat is used to me getting too upset over dumb things. She's sleeping right now. Like, snooze. Boring. Anyway.
Anyway.
Collision.
Are we start? You don't start the show. I start the show.
I'm not starting it.
You started it. Welcome to AE Double Back. You know what? Haven't even really explained the show to Josh. Just going to do this because it's going to throw him into the thick of this for Wednesday. No, not Wednesday. Saturday.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We skipped Wednesday.
Saturday, June 17th, 2023.
I hope everyone watched that Dynamite. It was a good Dynamite.
Yes, decent. It was.
But
sorry we weren't here because Calder's
off on the road.
Phoenix. Somewhere.
He, Fozzie Bear, and Kermit are.
Wait, he's not
going to
be on the show
right along. No. He's taking some personal time.
It's why he came on the show today.
I don't want to say that he's in rehab for heroin, but he's in rehab for heroin.
Somebody
so just give him some time.
Yeah. Calder likes Sweet Lady H.
Yep. Me and him were just nodding off, listening to Morphine the other day, and he was like, "I can't take this, man. I gotta go. I gotta split."
He's like, "Morphine makes me think of heroin. I gotta get out of here."
Yeah.
That's a great band, though. I haven't seen their documentary, and that's one of the bands that I really just am like, God, they never really got their due.
Yeah. There's a fair amount of 90s bands. Like, we're doing some really, really great shit.
Yeah. Anyways, we just had this like epic tear on 90s nostalgic things. And so we're a little in a, that's where our head's at right now.
we're in a place.
Anyways. So we decided to do Collision instead this week because it's new and we might not ever do this again. So we thought we should do this now.
And we brought on a guest, Josh Spence, what's your wrestling background?
Oh my goodness. Too much. Mm-hmm. I've been a mark from way back. I love it.
Excellent.
Josh Spence.
First feud you remember.
First one I truly remember caring about. I mean, like, I can rattle off like stuff from like history, but I mean,
no, the ones that you watched as a kid, and you're like, okay, oh, this
right. I mean, the first one for me would really have to be like Rock, Stone Cold. I mean, just
okay,
the Monday night. I mean, that was the time. I started in that real golden age, Triple H and Rock, Stone Cold, and Mankind, and I
remember
like. What when Jericho first popped out like that?
Oh, Y2J.
I thought Chris Jericho was the coolest guy. I had like a friend of mine like download his intro theme song. I loved it that much. Very not cool of me to say that now.
Wow.
Oh, because it was like LimeWire or something.
Yeah. Oh, he got so many viruses. It was great.
So did Chris Jericho, oddly enough. It was a time. It was a time for everybody.
Right.
Excellent. Yeah. So, this is the first Collision, and it's part of, TK's like billion-dollar move over there at Turner. And
right.
He has so much money. He's making really poor choices, though. Because the first thing that rubbed me the wrong way with Collision right away was the theme song. I know there's probably people out there that have, maybe they don't have certain expectations of that song or certain associations with that song. Uh-huh. Or maybe they do and it's a good thing. I've never liked that song. It's never been a song that I'm like, yeah, woo, you know? Huh. I think Elton John has some great music, all this, but that song to me, I just am like, this, it, Not at all.
No, you're the madman across the water. No, I get that. I mean, yeah, for sure.
All I know is that it also doesn't jive with like what then they're visually presenting to you, right?
Yes. I'm on the same mind of that. Like, I actually, excuse me, I like the song. I thought it was the wrong version of the song. I was expecting the Nickelback cover version of Saturday
Night. What?
Yeah.
The what?
You've never heard it?
No, and I never will.
Oh, look, it's so... I'm not getting into the whole Nickelback, la 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 la.
I just... that would be a terrible version, objectively.
Hold on. So, like, that version, and it features Kid Rock on it.
Oh, well.
Josh, you're digging yourself a hole.
No, it's so bad, it's good. It's like that mid-America... Like, it would fit in... perfectly with like an Applebee's ad of like, come in Saturday, like, get all you can eat ribs and hang out with the boys at the bar. Applebee's, Nickelback, Saturday Night. Like it's cornball as fuck, but like it's almost like the right type of, you know, when you go to the theater, you're not getting real butter, but God, you love that butter.
All right. I see where you're coming from. I think less of you as a human being, yes, I understand what's happening here.
Okay, I just want to say though, I know everyone makes fun of Nickelback. I personally can't even think of any song they've ever done, so I can't weigh in on that.
Photograph.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's like I don't know if I can say yes or no to Nickelback, but I'll say this: everyone needs to chill it on Nickelback, because all they did was exist.
Right.
That's their only crime. Like, leave them alone.
I'll do this last bit about Nickelback and then we can move forward. I first heard the cover of Saturday Night, It's All Right for Fighting by Nickelback, because they played it for Hockey Night in Canada. It was like, you know, the opening montage.
Right. Oh my God,
like guys checking each other and like guys drinking beer and the face off.
That's like, so what Tony Khan was thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It should have.
And he's like, now that I have $1 billion, I'm going straight to the source.
So I was talking to one of my producer friends, and I was like, you know how we should get people to our improv shows is we should have like Improv Night in America and have that song, but like have people like fast tagging in, doing montages, doing tableaus, you know, putting like a dollar into the tip jar, you know.
Driving in a monster truck. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man. Improper middle America.
By the way, this is a side note, and if no one's ever done improv or gives a shit about improv, this you can
the only improvisers listen to this, Teresa. Come on.
I don't know. Well, okay. I had this team where sometimes we would just do some dumb stuff because that's what you do.
The best.
And so we would do this tag where, like, if you want to tag in, you have to do rock, paper, scissors. And if you win, you can tag in. If you lose, you got to step back and the scene continues, motherfucker. And it honestly is a lot of fun.
That's actually pretty fun.
You should try.
God, I am such a nerd. I'm a huge improv geek and a big wrestling mark. You have got a guest on tonight, guys.
Oh good. So
let's talk about just the idea of collision.
Yes.
What we think it should be and what it kind of is. I'm willing to give it some time because you know this is the first episode.
It needs to find its feet, for
sure. Yeah. But also, I mean, just from the jump, we're talking about 2 hours for Dynamite, 1 hour for Rampage, 2 hours for Collision. That's a lot of goddamn wrestling television,
right?
It's a lot. And they have they have a decent roster to be able to support it. But there's some stuff too where I was like, oh my God, some of these people with something we'll talk about later, you know, they're saying they're going to basically be on every night, and I'm like, this is fucking crazy. It's gonna be overkill.
It's a lot. Yeah,
like they'll be too tired or they'll get injured or you know, they won't have enough time to rest. I don't know. I just think about it.
Here's what I was thinking about it. It's like I love writers as well. One of my favorite writers is Michael Schur. And when he was talking about Parks and Rec, he was like, you want any advice for producing a show, write 10 episodes, throw like the first 7 episodes out, and like episode 8 should be like your first episode. I almost feel like it was like that with Collision. Like it had just like the right amount of polish for what we've seen, especially with like Dark and Dark Elevation and all of that, where I was almost like, and especially with the matches that they had and the type of people I like to see wrestling, I was like almost to the point where like, oh, this is what I wanted to see to begin with 4 years ago. Like, of course it takes time to, I mean, I don't know how to run a wrestling federation. So like, of course it takes, I guess, that much amount of time, but I was like, oh, I finally, it felt almost as realized as it could be at this point. So I was very happy to see it.
It definitely reflects the growth of AEW from like its fledgling beginnings through the horrific year of the pandemic, and then to today, where he's now like sitting very pretty at right underneath WWE. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not Daly's place right now. It's very yeah.
But
I mean, for my part, I feel like I don't want the same show but more of it, because like as it is now, I can spend 2 hours a week on wrestling. That's how much I can watch. I don't have the space in my life to watch 40 hours a week. And God knows there is 40 hours a week of good wrestling television for to sure. be had. I mean, right. We now have access to all the great stuff in Japan. Mm-hmm. And there are so many indie feds that are, you know, now for like, I don't know, $5-$10 a month, you can have access to like all of those shows. So you could do it. I can't. So I just need like, I need 2 hours of really great wrestling, and Dynamite is pretty much it. Rampage, I watch when I can, but I'm like, okay, look, you want 2 more hours for me, you gotta give me something that I don't currently have. And so I kind of want something different. I don't know what it is, but I want to give me a different take on wrestling. That's what I like when, you know, like we're doing a really great match and then we have like a wacky promo, you know, like mix it up for me.
Right.
What is this show? And I thought it was kind of interesting that they were separating them, you know, like the different people that are watching. You're not going to see CM Punk over here. You're not going to see the Elite over here. Great. But like, make it more that.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, make, like it, totally make it a studio show. Yeah. Make it like NWA Power, which is an objectively terrible idea, but at least, you know, it's something different. And you're like, oh, I'm watching this show, which is very different. Different things are happening. It feels different, you know?
Instead so did of just you like, not like it off the jump, or
it was fine. It felt like another Dynamite, basically. I don't want to get too go down too hard on it, because I think
don't know.
Rampage was its own thing for a while.
Right.
And this felt like here we're introducing a bunch of stuff. Like this,
it was kind of like a prelude to something that's going to be arriving. You know, we have some teasers of people that will be arriving, but not yet, and all this kind of stuff. But I don't know. It felt like a wrestling show, as it was. Absolutely a wrestling show. But it didn't make me think of Dynamite necessarily. So it is different. I guess it's comes down to the announce team for me, which I thought they did a commendable job, given that they're up against probably some of the best, my favorites, I should say. I don't know if they're the best, but they're my favorites.
I mean, these these guys have been around for a minute, so they should come in hot and strong. They, you know,
I thought the one guy really did, and I forget what his name was. Kevin Kelly. I thought he was great.
Kevin Kelly.
I like that he gave alternate pronunciations on Andre El Idolo.
No. We'll get to that.
So let me ask you this then, if we're going back to the beginning, like you're mentioning, do you give this opening show any leeway based on the fact that when you're watching Dynamite, there's so much story already going and it's getting ready for Forbidden Door.
Right.
That, like, it's starting, like, it's almost like jumping on a speeding train. Do you give mm-hmm. it any credit for that? I mean, it didn't feel like a Battle of the Belts show, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, we'll get to a match that I think perfectly hits that tone.
Cool.
Just nails it. And the rest of the show, hit or miss, but at least in one place, they did exactly what they needed to do. Just like sort of like introduce a thing to you. And like, I want to see what happens next week.
Yeah. I'm on that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So now we can talk about the actual show itself.
We can talk about the Punk promo.
Okay, so
are you guys sure you don't want to talk about Nickelback just a little bit more?
You know what?
You know what? Oh if God!
I'm so joking.
If we start talking Nickelback, I'm going to bring it back to grunge. I'm going to talk about the sweet ass stoner doom cover album I found of Alice in Chains' "Dirt," and turns out there's an entire back catalog of great stoner doom cover albums, and you don't want that. Because it's super niche. I hear
I trust you
falling asleep as we
speak. I never made it as a wise man. I never made it as a poor man stealing. I mean, this is just how you remind me, you know.
Thank you. Of how I really am. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that works.
Yeah. You know what? It flows. It flows. Don't laugh, Teresa. Sorry. You don't know what we're talking about.
I don't. I know you do, and that makes me laugh.
Just tell me, are we having fun yet? Oh, sorry.
All right, y'all. Here we go. Here's my hot take on CM Punk, which isn't very hot of a take. First things I thought is, you know, I really hope they gave that crying guy, you know, crying guy. I hope they gave him ringside seats because he gave them a lot of awesome press. I think he deserves ringside seats. And then... Okay, so getting into CM Punk, like, obviously he was going to start the show, whatever. And I didn't know what to expect as far as a promo from him. He's saying he's tired of being nice, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, great, does this mean we're going to have a heel version of him that I've heard is better than the other version we've been given so far? Because I don't know anything about Punk. I'm not, you know, again, him at AEW was my first experience with him. And I was so-so on him, you know, like he can do great promos, but I was so-so on him. And so here we are. There was a lot of gas in the bag. You know,
I don't know what that means.
Okay. There's a lot of expectations and,
Thank you. What? Also what? Gas in the bag?
Yeah, I don't know. Hot air balloon. That's what I'm assuming that means.
Farting.
Sure. No, we all naturally think of hot air balloons right off the bat. A daily occurrence.
My mom says a lot of weird things, okay? I don't know where they come from, but they're in my head. All right.
I need her on the Super Legit pod. She sounds great.
Yeah. You would love some of the stuff she says. I'm like, where does this even come from?
Question. Know. What were you expecting Chick Magnet Punk to say?
Well, I don't know, but it did not draw me in.
Okay.
You know, he was saying, tell me when I'm telling lies, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, all this stuff. You know, he's like.
Solid catchphrase.
And he's basically bringing up the old shit and just saying, mm-hmm. hey, man, I'm here to tell the truth. I told the truth then. I'm telling the truth now. So you can blame me if you want, fine, but it's not my fault, basically. It's, you know, and then, and I'm like, oh, that's too bad that we had, I guess maybe they felt like they had to bring it up. I really wish they didn't, you know?
Really?
Like,
I mean, just
move on.
It's but, 100% you have to, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, the show kind of doesn't exist without it.
It's the number one reason why I had to watch it at 8 o'clock as opposed to the next day. Like but I'm also a huge Mark, but like, yeah, you have to see. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It didn't get me excited. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was bad, but it didn't get me excited. And I definitely have been excited by his promos before.
What so would have made you excited?
I have no promo. Idea. Look, I don't know what I want, but I know it when I feel it. You know,
right? That's fair.
So,
we've all been gas bagged. Yeah.
Yeah. But
anyway, I don't know. I thought it was fine. I middle it though.
To me, it felt like, because his whole shtick is, you know, the pipe bomb. Like I'm going to cut through the kayfabe and be authentic mm-hmm. and real. And this time, to me, it really felt like shtick. It felt like, all right, you know, here's some real life drama that happened. I'm going to spin it into a storyline. And I'm going to be the guy who tells it like it is, but it felt like a character. It felt right. like, you know, the CM Punk that we remember from what is it, 15 years now? Pipe Bomb promo.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So it felt expected. Like everything that came out was like, okay, I see that. That's fine. That is what should happen. That is what everybody's paying for. Mm-hmm. Great. I also middled it for that reason. Like it didn't it didn't connect and get me hyped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a middle for me as well. And I thought there was some like great lines in there. I mean, like counterfeit yeah. bucks is chef's kiss good.
Yeah.
But I was into it at first, and then what threw me out of it watching it is when he was riffing, or he thought he was riffing, and then he stumbled over his words, and then he went back to remember the one thing that he wanted to say in his prepared speech that was allegedly, I don't know what I'm gonna say. At that point I was like, oh, you're orating, you're prepared, you have this prepared, you're monologuing. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's a good performance. Don't get me wrong, I mean, him better than me, but it's a performance. It wasn't, I'm shooting, brother. Like, we'll see what happens. Like, it wasn't that. Mm-hmm. So, I think he could have rattled the cage more. Even if I agree. Yeah. Even if he didn't necessarily go after like the Bucks or Hangman per se, like, I mean, MJF's right there. I mean, just punch him and you just, you know,
did say something like, as like to the camera when he was done with this promo.
Yeah, because
like,
he won the dog collar match and as opposed to being in it. But I mean, my point was that MJF is such a huge target. You can just go ham on him. You don't have to worry about, you know, offending that guy. If you wanted to go huge, load up on that, you know, especially if you have to kind of mince what you're saying with the other people involved.
Well, yeah. He did say to the camera when he held up the bag and after he'd thrown the mic down, something, something MJF, like,
oh, right.
See this MJF or whatever.
Yeah. I see that.
Yeah.
So it was like, but again, he could have done that into the mic, made it more clear.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I like. It feels like he has to, create the stories for this show, and it sounds like MJF is mostly staying over there. You know, he's like, mm-hmm. okay, the Elite thing happened, and now we're just going to set it aside. Let's talk about, you know, the people that are here, which I think is good. I don't know. I feel like it's telling that he doesn't have a match at Forbidden Door.
That
it
we
feels
know
like.
Of.
Well, I guess. but I mean, if he did, he should have been promoting it on this show.
You know? That's a good point, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe they couldn't do any of that because this show hadn't happened yet, and this was his big like comeback, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, he probably wouldn't look that great. I mean, that show is fucking stacked,
dude,
and everybody is just a murderer. And
I'm so pissed good. It's not like listed at any movie theater right now because I really want to see it.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
I want to see it live or as live as I can get it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Okay. Let's talk Luchasaurus versus Wardlow.
Well, we had a Scorpio Sky promo recap.
I thought that was later.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, it was down the line, but I mean, I'm happy. I was happy to see him.
I took my notes on my phone and my thumb moved.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Been there. Been there.
I hate it when my thumb moves.
You got to keep it real with the pen and paper.
Well, I normally do, but this time I didn't. And my notes are never as good when I do.
And you have paid the price.
I did pay
the price. I usually etch in a scrimshaw, so you really drive it home.
That's, yeah. Permanent. I like using cuneiform.
Clay tablets, yeah. You find a nice papyrus. Yeah.
Poor copper, poor quality copper.
You said we're going to stop talking about grunge era stuff.
Hurtful. My kid keeps bringing up like the distant past, as in like before anything, as the 80s. And it's really starting to bother me.
He did it
once, and I was like, okay, well, you know, he's obviously sure. He was born in 2017. It was a long time ago. Great.
Oh my God.
But then he keeps bringing it back. I was like, oh yeah, it was 100 years ago in the 1980s. I'm like, fuck you, kid. We're going to have words.
You know what?
There also, will be a beatdown. I was listening to the radio, and this, you know, it was like one of those college radio things where like every, you know, like, people are learning how to do this kind of stuff. I love listening to those anyways, because there's all this different kinds of shit on the radio that you don't get to hear otherwise. Anyways. So this girl was like, so that song was Smashing Pumpkins 1979.
Okay. Well, now wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute.
Really into their stuff. Like, I've been watching their videos on YouTube lately. Like, that's a really good videos. I was like, oh my fucking Christ.
Okay, look.
Don't you know what 1979 is? You don't.
Does she not know how years work? Because
How do you not know how to say 1979? Just say 1979. It's not 79. No one's ever said 79. Gotcha. You don't say 22-3, do you? No.
Well, since we're doing this, I'd like to just quickly formally apologize to my dad. I remember in the early 1990s, where I remember he would be listening to like Dark Side of the Moon, and I was like, "You got to stop listening to that ancient stuff. You're living in the past, man. You got to listen to what's new." And like, as I'm listening to like,
you were the Uriah's Heep hippie guy, and The Simpsons. There's like,
living in the past,
man.
If you guys choose to have me on again, I have a lot of embarrassing stories I'm happy to share. So as I'm listening to like the first Foo Fighters album, because they're my favorite band. I'm listening to the first Foo Fighters album in 95, and I'm like, oh my God, the passage of time from that first album to now is longer than the time that I had like excoriated my dad for listening to Dark Side of the Moon. I used to know what is it, but now it has passed me by. Okay, great.
Yeah, no, everybody has that moment where they pass by the classic rock station and a song from their youth is playing. You're like, no, that's not.
And I want to be an American idiot. No. No.
Yeah. I mean, I was working in radio, so like I heard when Nirvana first started popping up, I'm like, this is too soon. Way too soon to be on classic rock. I mean,
yeah, like, right.
Like it was less than 10 years from the end of the band, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is not
right
happening.
You like Grandpa switch Simpsons. From the Matrix, like not like these.
Grandpa Simpson has a great quote about this. He says, I used to be with it, and it changed, and I didn't know what it was, and what was it was weird and frightening to me.
And it'll happen like to this. You.
Yeah. Anyways, so now that we've established how ancient we all are, let's move on to the
new match.
Christian Cage and Wardlow doing a little promo, a little bit of a recap of what's going on with them and with Arn Anderson.
So what's going on with you, Wardlow?
Yeah.
I like this. I you know, my opinion of Wardlow had been changed. I thought he was going to be like the next like hot thing in AEW. And then I didn't think it was happening. And then I thought it was happening for him. And then I didn't think, you know what? He's the gatekeeper for that title. That's what he is. Like, he's going to win that thing like a million times and lose it a million plus one times.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a good work rate guy for that. He puts people over. And I mean, I've been a big Luchasaurus fan. I mean, watching him and, you know, Jungle Boy when they were doing PWG shows in Reseda, but like, it was a good match. I thought he put him over wonderfully. Like, Wardlow's not a guy I think maybe that's supposed to win all the time.
Yeah, I was worried they were going to do something with Wardlow similar to Jade. But, like, Jade really is the only person that could pull off 60 wins. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, yeah.
And it was starting to feel like, are they going to do that with Wardlow? Because, like, I don't buy it with Wardlow. I don't like it with Wardlow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Jade, they were in that – they're headed in that direction.
Yeah,
And you set up a bunch of squash matches and, you know, do a bunch of power bombs. Like,
or, like, just have a way to make him do these power bombs, which don't look good. They look like, I mean, sometimes I'm just like, he fucked that up, or like he hurt somebody there. I mean, maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm looking at, but it looks like someone just got hurt right there, you know? but yeah, so it was kind of crazy that they got Luchasaurus to win.
I'm very happy. The match itself was okay. It wasn't that great.
Right.
Wardlow and Luchasaurus, I think, don't do the best together. Right. I think they both do better with smaller guys. Like someone like a Powerhouse Hobbs, you like to see him like going toe to toe with other big dudes. But I think Wardlow and Luchasaurus both are, you know, middling at that. So the match was fine, but I thought the booking was perfect. I thought they did exactly what they should have done. I'm looking forward, honestly. I can't remember the last time I was looking forward to seeing a Wardlow feud, but I'm happy to see this feud because I think there's great interplay there.
You know, Luchasaurus is really spry and he can do a lot of things on the ropes that other people,
yes, ma'am,
big guys can't do. And so I don't remember who else he was with that was a big guy that was kind of similar. I don't remember who it was.
Cage? Now. Brian Cage?
It could have been Brian Cage. You know what? It could have been. But I think that he does better when someone has more versatility. And usually he's up against people that are very versatile, right? Because they're smaller or whatever. But so with Wardlow, you know, he's not versatile yet, right? Obviously, he's really young. He's been doing great. But they found something that works, and they've been really keeping him in that place.
Yeah.
He did do a table spot, so that was cool to see. You know, he doesn't really do rope stuff, so it was like, whoa, okay.
I was thinking about this. What do you guys think about this? I'm going to post this to you. I think there's a little bit of like the magic trick that gets lost because you look at guys like Wardlow or Luchasaurus or even Cage to an example. They're big guys who know how to do quote unquote flippy things. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you have a big guy who does flippy things next to like a regular person who does flippy things, you see that imbalance. You're like, oh, that's cool because they're different. But if you have like two big guys bumping meat who also both do flippy stuff, it takes away that indifference. You're like, oh, they're the same guy. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like
does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is nice to see a clash of style.
Right. 100%.
Yep. Which is why it bums me out when I see, you know, Brian Cage in a match where he just looks like, you know, he does flashy. Ropes, yeah, and he just looks like a dude. Because I still think he's special. I like watching him. So
I think he's great. Yeah, I'm with you. Also, in that match, though, I mean, Christian. I mean,
He's so good. I hate him so much.
Just wonderful.
Yeah. He's, you know, I never liked him as a face.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful he's a heel now.
Yeah.
Because, like, all of my feelings are justified, but also, like, I now like him. You know what I mean?
And you like him because you knew you were right.
Yeah. Like, he's a piece of shit, right?
Yeah, I knew he was an asshole. And because you're an asshole, you're fine.
But, yeah. So, I gave this a thumbs up. I like how it ended.
Yeah, yeah. I middled it just because I wasn't necessarily drawn in by the match. But, yeah. It was good.
Good spot at the end where he's on Lucha's shoulders with the belt. Oh,
yes.
Middle as well. I agree. But that ending was pretty fun.
Okay. We've got Powerhouse Hobbs and QT Marshall doing an interview. Powerhouse. And basically, Powerhouse wants to be in the Owen Hart tournament. And that's his next chapter of the Book of Hobbs. I can't say it in plain English just how disappointed I am. They've dropped this whole awesome mm-hmm. Book of Hobbs thing. They were doing really cool vignettes, and it just brought up a lot of intrigue and curiosity and mm-hmm. imagination, you know. And
it kind of reminded me of those Razor Ramon promos where he's showing you where he's from and like how yeah. he does it on the street. I 100% agree with you on that.
You know, and, you know, the chapters could be anything, right? It doesn't have to be something big. Could be anything. And so the fact that they've held off on any next chapter, and then we get the next chapter, and it's just like, I'm going to be in this tournament that everybody's in. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Do I want him to win this tournament? I mean, it depends on who else is in it, right? Because I want there are a few people that I want to have belts right now that are also going to be in that tournament. So I don't know, right? But I do want him to have some kind of belt. I do want him to dominate in some way. I want him on TV all the time. I want him to be a superstar. And I don't want QT Marshall to have anything to do with him.
100%.
I don't want him to mention QTV ever again.
That needs to go.
I'm like, why is this cancer still not being operated on? Just cut it out.
The only thing that I like about QT being with him is it means that they still have their eye on Hobbs. Like, there are times when I feel like, oh God, they've forgotten about Powerhouse. They're just letting him adrift. So this says that, like, yes, we have plans for you. We're booking you. We're getting you out there. Are they the correct plans? Maybe not so much. But the fact of the matter is, Powerhouse is out there. Like, when he was first started with Team Taz, like, it wasn't really Team Taz that put him over. He was just out there. You saw him, just this presence just starts to radiate from
him. Looming presence with his cool fucking overalls and his sneer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean,
if he's on TV, he's going to get over.
Yes.
So
100%. Like,
I just like, yeah, just keep him on there, however it's got to happen. And then, you know, like maybe like Jamie Hayter, like eventually they'll be like, we have to give him the belt. There's simply no other option. We had plans, but we have to give him the belt.
Yeah.
So
I think Hobbs has a similar problem like Ricochet in WWE, where they have the look, they have the talent, they can't cut a promo. Like, every time Hobbs speaks, it falls flat. And I agree with what you said about QT Marshall. I think he's a great like jobber. He's not a manager. Like, I imagine if like Christian was paired with Hobbs and did all the evil underhanded talking for Hobbs, and Hobbs just got to just sneer at everyone.
Like Taz used to do.
Yeah. Like,
that was a perfect situation.
I agree with you on that 100%.
But I did like when Hobbs would cut a promo and they were the taped ones. Those were done very well. And I think that I just wish they would do that more. I mean, whatever. I can't say more when they haven't been doing it at all. I just mean, let's do more, let's do them again. And this maybe was a one-off and I'll forgive them on that. So I middled it.
I think we can all agree though, QTV is a no for me, dog. Like that's
like,
not happening.
Yep. Yep. Right. I'm torn because I do like, I thought Hobbs is best in those small chunks. Like, yeah, if you give him 3.5 minutes, he's not going to be able to fill that well. If you give him like 20 seconds, he's just going to be like, oh, give, I'm going to beat these motherfuckers, and you buy it. So like, I think the small chunk was great from him. But also I feel like I was promised more Hobbs than I got. Feel like when they started talking about Collision, they were like, hey, look, Powerhouse Hobbs is going to be on the show. And I'm like, I will be there for Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yeah.
And if this is all I'm getting, I'm a little let down. So I'm middle.
Yeah. And there's that cheesy ass line where they're like, we said he'd be on the show. Not like, it's like that kid in first grade. I said I could, not that I would. It's like, come on.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, this goes to my thing of like, it's like the prelude to what the show will be or could be. Like, it's, this isn't the show yet. They're giving us examples of what's on its way.
Yeah.
So it's like hard to really judge it. But yeah. Would you guys thumb this?
I'm middle.
Down. Thumbs down.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Brave. Yeah. We got Buddy Murphy versus Andrade, El Idolo.
Idolo or, Idololo.
I was infuriated. The first time he did it, I was like, all right, whatever. Then when he did it a second time a different way, I was like, I'm super pissed now, or this is a bit. And I know that I know that he used to do commentary for NJPW, and maybe his thing was that he was like a heel, racist American announcer, and he didn't know any of the names, and he got it wrong. If it was some sort of callback to that, I really need to be told ahead of time so that I know that it's a bit, because it didn't work. It sounded like he didn't know what he was talking about, and. My first memories of Kevin Kelly were as like a backstage interviewer at WWE. I want to say it might have been an F at the time. It was a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
And
what was he was five?
He was like terrible. and he sucked and everybody hated him. And I assumed in the intervening years that like, okay, well, he's still doing this and, you know, probably got a lot better and all that. But
who was the bald guy with the mustache? Who even made it onto Dax the Harwin? Cartoon? No, the interviewer at WWF.
Oh,
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Okay, he was great.
Yes, he was.
Dax's dad. Yeah.
In fact, you should just go watch some Mean Gene outtakes right now. Just go to YouTube, search Mean Gene outtakes, and they're amazing. They're wonderful.
Partied.
But. This Nigel McGuinness was a former ROH champion. He got injured and then just like moved into commentating, and he's good. He's fine. You know, sort of heel commentator.
I like him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He is no Taz, but Taz has, I don't know, 20 years more experience than him. So fine. This match was so good, and it was so perfect for what this show needed, which was people that you know, sort of know, need a little refresher on. And we are going to give you a hell of a match, and we're going to leave it with story threads to continue on this feud. And just perfect. All that was perfect.
You know what? When I was watching it too, I was like, okay, these guys, I know. Wrestled in WWE together, you know, and so they know each other well, they've worked together well, and this is not only great for Buddy because it's always nice when he gets his own shot, but it's great for Andrade because Andrade has had a hard time at AEW. Like, not necessarily. Yeah. Like, I think that, like, just other people were doing the same type of shtick, and other people were just more successful at it or something. And I don't quite remember what the issues were, other than him wanting to be the boss and do this whole like rich guy thing, which, you know, there were a few other people doing.
Yeah, he doesn't need a story. He just kicks ass in the ring.
Right, like, exactly. Yeah. Like, who cares what the fuck he does?
Well, right? You know, like, what they
be allowed to be. It just exists.
He brought in Roosh, and basically they didn't do anything with him. They just let Roosh be Roosh, and he so got bummed. Over because he's amazing. Yes. Like, why did you just do that with Andrade?
Exactly. And so with that, we have – he painted his famous mask, so that's different. It's like – so it looks a little more like a skull, even though it totally looks like a skull, but it was all black. But anyways, it's now a little more vivid. And so when at the end of this match, okay, and Andrade wins, and we had the House of Black surrounding him, I was like, I would fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah.
If he joined the fucking House of Black. Like, I love what the House of Black has right now. Like, I don't think they need anything. But if they were to add anybody – this would be so fucking awesome, because Andrade wouldn't have to say a goddamn word. Mm-hmm. He could just be menacing and good in the ring.
Yeah.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
Yeah.
Anyways, I thought that would be really cool. And I thought that's what was going to happen. And who knows? Who knows? It might. Because look, Malakai Black, another good friend of his, another guy that he wrestled at WWE, you know. Mm-hmm. I say they're all good friends. I assume everyone's good friends.
Sure.
I have no idea. Look.
Everybody loves everybody backstage at wrestling. We know that for a fact.
That's what goes through my mind.
They all are like in the same dorm. Yeah,
they all chat on the same party line.
Right, right.
They kick their heels up in their bunny slippers and talk about boys.
I think if announcing has anything is as accurate as it was supposed to be, I think they need to drop Buddy Matthews and just bring on Buddy Murphy and keep that guy, whoever that was on Saturday, just crushed it. And like, the moves were awesome. I love their skill sets. I what sold it for me, all right, I blew it, was the selling. Like, they were selling their injuries. Julia Hart was selling the reactions. Like, she I think that's great. What she's fan. Like, at first I was like, you know, I was being a stupid boy about it. I was like, oh, we don't need a girl on this thing. And then, like, as soon as she, like, she's started getting her Stevie Nicks hat, I was like, she's the best.
Yeah.
Yes.
Writing, like, crush letters, like, I love you, Julia. Like, she's the best. That whole match was fantastic. I love that they did tribute finishers to their
right.
Yeah, little things like that was great. I love that finally Andrade caught himself in the ropes and posed. Like, everybody tries to do it, but they're like 10 degrees off, and like he just nailed it perfectly. It was no notes for me. That was the match of the night.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that if you want to sell what Collision could be,
it's that
it could just it could just be a series of really good matches. They're like, hey, you know what? We have a lot of talent that we don't know what to do with. Let's just fucking set up some weird, like, random matches and just have them be good.
Be the commercial. It's like, hey, do you like Andrade? Yeah, well, he's going to be on the show. You like Buddy Matthews? Yeah, he's going to be on the show too. And you like FTR? Of course they do. They're going to be on the show. And then that's the commercial. Like,
yeah.
But the great – the on top of all that, the great thing was, like, Andrade, you know, like trying to get a handshake out of respect, and Buddy like, oh, maybe you're like, oh, wow. Are they like, is there going to be some respect here? Then the lights go out and oh, shit. Yeah. Lights come back up. It was weird that the lights are off for like, I don't know, 20 seconds or whatever. Andrade still has his hand out, because at some point you'd be like, you know what? I'm going to put my hand down because I don't know what's happening here.
It's like, I'm not even curious.
It's like frozen in time.
So here's another fun tidbit about me. Like, I have mentioned that I'm a giant improv nerd and a giant wrestling mark. I have also gotten my mom
into wrestling. I told her that it was, I told her it was like a men's soap opera with punching.
I have tried that, and that shit doesn't work with my mom.
She bought it. So when we were talking about Collision and we were talking about how awesome that match was, she was like, you know, like it was cool seeing, seeing the other faction, because wouldn't it be, she's, what did she say exactly? I'm sorry. She was like, I also thought it'd be cool if that ignorable faction, as she pronounced it, like Rush and Dralistico and all those guys showed up behind Andrade.
That would be fucking cool too. Oh, imagine wow. That
pop. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Oh, wow.
Very good, mom. She was like, yeah, wow. I thought that would have been fun. I was like,
oh my God. I love that.
Put her on the booking team.
Move over to Washington.
Yeah. So that got a big thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
Yeah, middle. Yeah.
You son of a bitch. Oh my God. You're such a liar.
It was so good. So good.
Okay, so now we have the Scorpio Sky promo and recap.
Yes.
Again, a little tempting dip as to what could be coming to Collision, what it could be. I really wish they just had him show up as opposed to just do a little promo and recap. Right. But it's a bummer. They were like, he's been gone for so long, they have to do a recap. God.
This is a guy named Scorpio Sky.
And he's like the fucking best. He was in Men of the Year. Is an amazing, he can do amazing promos, he can do amazing shit in the ring. Like, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't have been on our TV every single fucking week.
Right. Yeah. It goes back to what you said about it. It's like improv. You're right. 100%. Like, show, don't tell. Like,
yeah.
Had he been there? Let me ask you guys this. Like, apparently, from what like the dirt sheets will tell you, he's been healthy since like November. So it's a creative thing, apparently. What would you like to see him do now, considering ostensibly he could do anything?
I don't even know, because I didn't think that I wanted Men of the Year. I was like, Jesus, he was just getting a singles run going. Like, why are we doing this? And then I was like, oh my God, I love this so much. Why don't you put the belts on them? And then he just fucking disappeared. They started doing the thing with the MMA coach.
What's his that face? Dumb thing. And then that guy took over. And then neither Ethan or Scorpio talked for the longest time.
Which is such a bummer, because, they were great. That guy was great. Together, like, you know.
Dan Lambert.
There just wasn't Dan Lambert, There was just, like, not enough time for everybody to do their stuff. I was happy whenever any of them were on the screen. And, now we have a show where people get space to do their thing.
I personally would like to see Men of the Year again. I definitely wouldn't mind seeing either of those guys do a singles run, but they're so good together that I think it'll be more successful possibly if they're back together. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I want him to be on TV all the time.
Yeah, I feel bad for Ethan Page. Like, I think he's just buried right now at the moment. Like, he's rolling with the Hardys and half a private party, right?
It's like, fun. And if he's getting paid the same amount of money to not bust his body, you know what? I can't ever say no to that.
You're right. 100% you're right. But also, like, he's such a good asshole.
He is so good.
You know, it's like when you see... when you see that perfect, going back to improv, when you see that wonderful character on stage where you're like, oh, I can play with this guy. Like, let's just keep him as long as we can, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. I thumbed it up, but also only because they didn't announce him. So I didn't feel let down, but also like, Why am I not seeing him now? Why am I not seeing him live?
You feel betrayed when you see it, because you're like, how fucking dare you? How dare you have kept him from me all this time? It's like you just wake up from a dream. Anyways, thumbs up.
Thumb up.
Tony Nese, Smart Mark Sterling are in the ring, and they do the
you're fat. Thing.
They do a group training. I laughed because also wrestling fans are such good sports.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing it.
Yes.
I will like, say, I needed the cameraman to focus on fat dudes less because that felt unwarranted.
Targeted.
Like, they didn't ask for that.
I felt, yeah.
That's true. That was a bad move.
I didn't sign up for it, but I certainly clicked on the link for the free month at 24 Hour Fitness. Yes.
Oh, God.
But yeah, Tony is great. He's one of those just you boo out of respect. Like, he's so...
He's real good.
You know he's going to get his ass beat. So you're just like, you know, enjoy.
I mean, one of my notes down here for this match is that Tony Nese is another one of these guys who deserves more money because he makes people look great. He's Absolutely. Never going to win that title. He's never going to be the top guy, but he makes other guys look like they should be top guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I want him to be paid that way. Like the show doesn't exist without people like him being as fucking good as he is.
Yeah, kind of like how – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you know, he pumps up the audience, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, just the fact that they were doing a group training. I mean, he could have done anything.
That's the old school. He's that kind of a
person that pumps up the audience, you know? He's just good at it.
But he's like a warm-up comedian.
He did that and actually thought of it and pulled it off. And people just like him so much, they went along with it. I mean, that was great, right? I don't know. I just thought it was a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
I think Nese is like one of those guys, kind of like Wardlow, where like, you know, if Wardlow has the title, they're like, oh, we're getting ready to hand it off to the next champion. I think if you see Tony Nese fight whoever the guy I think we're going to talk about next, you're like, oh, they're about to start a run with this guy, right? So like when you see Miro come out and, you know, demolish Tony Nese, you're like, oh great, they're going to start doing something with this guy. Fantastic.
Yeah
Miro came in during the group training. He ripped his shirt off better than anyone has ever attempted at AEW.
100%.
Many times wrestlers have tried to rip their shirt off, and Miro did it so quick and so perfectly that it's kind of like, oh, everyone else is such an asshole. Like, what's the secret? Yeah. Is it just because it makes me think, oh, he really is a beast of a man, right?
But also,
everyone else is a puny.
He understands goddamn stagecraft. He knows that if I'm going to tear the shirt off in front of people, I better make sure that it's scored properly. I better try it a few times to make sure that I get it just right. Because if I have to pull once and then pull twice and three times, like get it down the bottom then I just sort of step out of it, you'll failed.
Yeah. Not even, I think it was Mike Tyson tried to tear his shirt off.
Oh, God. That was horrible.
Definitely Jericho didn't do it.
I just want to say real quick, just like happy Pride Month, because when he pulled his shirt like that and like those muscles flexed, like my heart went a flutter and I was just like, oh my. Like it was just impressive. Like he is just impressive looking man.
He's a monster. And like he's so much fun to watch because of that. Mm-hmm. And they know that. And then making him the redeemer, this, you know, just this nebulous idea of what that is so fun because you can play with it in so many different ways. And yeah, man, I just love this. I thought it was a fun match. It is what I want from a Miro match. And yeah, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Yeah.
I was sad he was gone.
Yeah. Oh, God. Kevin Kelly started going on this thing about Antonio Inoki and like christening pro wrestling the king of sports. And then he applies it to Miro. He's like, this guy does everything. He's done it all. Sambo, rowing, weightlifting.
Not weightlifting.
Wait, what?
It was weird, though, when he called him Miro real quick. I was just like, stop.
Did he? God damn it. Because I need to know if this is a thing, if it's intentional or not, because it goes so hard that I think that it is. I don't want to be, I don't know.
That would be great in that huge moment of just saying, he's a god. His muscles Myro.
What was I going to say? I don't even remember now.
Yeah. Muscles just blew everything out of your brain.
It's really hot in my apartment, and so I'm suddenly feeling like, God damn, am I like going to have to get up and get some water and blame it on Ramona?
There you go.
Sorry, the cat farted in my face. I have to go get some water.
She did earlier. I mean, mm-hmm. She wasn't in my face, but I was like, God damn it. How can I smell it from all the way over here? You fucking nasty.
See, it all comes back to gas bagging. That's just,
yeah, it does.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That's what a Mercedes used to have, a gas bag brake. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. It's a fact.
Because we're talking about wrestling, I was like, Mercedes Moné had a gas.
Yeah, I was waiting
what
for
is happening? Okay. No. Okay. I'm back on board. I understand what happened here.
Speaking of women wrestlers, as much as I hated her at WWE, I wouldn't mind seeing Miro's wife.
Oh yeah.
Now I can't remember her name.
Lena.
Yeah.
Lana.
She's Lana. Yeah. She's a free agent.
Yeah. You know, cause she, I don't know. She was annoying and she, you know, was learning how to do good stuff. So like, maybe it would add something. I don't know. I don't want to.
If you want a real answer to it,
the women, but
she is on, she's on that Mandy Rose tip where she has her own pay subscription site and
making good money. Just, yeah.
Apparently she's got really nice feet. So if you're a foot person, that's what
you can't
you're
tell
for.
If you're joking or not.
No, that's
going to assume that you're joking.
No. That's 100% not a bit. She had. It's not fan time or whatever.
OnlyFans.
Because the former Mandy Rose, I forget her real name.
Right.
Her website is called Fan Time. It's not OnlyFans.
Oh, I see.
It's called Fan Time.
Gotcha.
So it's like an OnlyFans derivative website. But yeah, that's what Lana's doing. That's why you don't see anything from Paige Van Sant either. They're all doing that.
Gotcha.
And that's so weird.
Making buku dollars.
I mean, good for them. I just think it's so weird that like that there's a market that can exist just because whatever. I don't know. It just makes me sad because then I think so this whole time wrestling dudes have just been like, yeah, they're good wrestlers, but what I really want to see is their fucking feet. You know, like, God.
Yeah.
God.
When there's a good wrestler, like male or female, and they don't get used, you know, like they don't get to do what they do well, you know, you're always like, God damn it. I wish, you know, they'd book so-and-so better. But then kind of like the Acclaimed, and I'll be saying this later on, as much as like their bit is kind of boring and just repetitive every single week, they're still getting huge pops and not having to bust their bodies. So I can't be mad at them. I can't be mad at anyone who's, you know, getting paid for, you know, for however they do it. That. So.
Can we talk about them now?
I'm not mad at the women for doing this. I'm mad at the wrestling fans.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, to then it's just another. It's just like so it meant nothing to you. Like women were really truly, you were just waiting for the moment that they lost hope in the sport and turned to fucking internet porn. Like that's. Or weird fetish porn, you were just waiting for that moment. How?
Right.
I'm disappointed in you, is all right. I have to say.
No, you're 100% right. Well, I have
good
a buddy.
For them. I absolutely want them to be millionaires on it, if you know what I mean.
Truly.
But,
no, I agree with you. And as a matter of fact, my friend, Michael Hyman, who's also a huge wrestling fan, should you ever want to bring him on, he also had a similar point because we were having this conversation. And he was like, yeah, he's like, it's funny that like whoever does it breaks that up. Cause I was saying, man, like Mandy Rose is pretty statuesque. And he was like, yeah, but everybody is good looking on WWE.
Yeah.
There isn't like ostensibly like any of those guys could do that, You know, like if Ricochet, you know, or Tony Nese, like that, that guy is, that guy's a statue. <You know? laughs> I would love to see that story. Like Tony Nese retires from wrestling, opens up foot fetish, pay on the side.
And becomes a billionaire. Yeah! He bought Forbes magazine.
For reals, Smart Mark needs to like get some sort of like legal license or paralegal shit so that he can be there when it happens. So he just like, you know, make sure that they get their paper signed right.
Yeah.
All right. So moving right along. Did we thumb this? We thumbed this, right? Yeah. It was an up, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Up.
Yeah.
Okay. We got Tony and Ruby versus Willow and Sky Blue. It's Sky Blue's hometown of Chicago.
Yep.
So she came out last, despite the fact Willow has a belt right now, but okay.
Yeah, and can we just talk about how they don't announce that she is the NJPW Strong Women's Champion? Jesus,
yeah,
man.
That's some bullshit. Yeah, it's a big deal. Right.
We should be
proud of it and be boasting it, and it should be everywhere. We shouldn't be hiding it.
It's hard because like when why am I blanking on Omega? He had all the belts. It's not like they mention like he is the, you know, AAA champion. He's the NJPW champion. You know, they didn't list off all those things in the intro, and I don't know if there is some sort of thing where if it's from another promotion, common etiquette is to like not make that kind of big deal out of it. But also, it's like Willow has a belt now. She needs to be pushed hard because people are already behind her. You have to use this momentum now. Otherwise, she's going to languish and you've lost, you know, this chance. This golden opportunity to have a star, homegrown star.
Right.
I think that's part of why they put this whole match together in the first place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're building up the women's division. Willow obviously had heat on her to begin with and then got the belt. And I don't know. I feel like that was part of how all this came about anyway.
There was heat? Really?
On Willow? Yeah.
What? Oh, no, not that kind of heat. Crowd.
Show. Oh, kayfabe. Got it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I don't know. I thought this was a good match, though. I think that Toni Storm really did a lot to try and make Sky Blue look really
good. She's a worker, man. She's fantastic.
And she was working really hard.
Yeah.
There was some, not great moments. Or you could tell she was moving slow so that Sky could, like, do her thing. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I mean, if they had to start with women who, like, had no experience at all, then okay. It's going to take us some time to build up to get these women in better shape match-wise. You know what I mean? I don't know why the women that we have, I don't want to say most of them, but it seems like at least the way they treat them, a lot of them have very little experience. And I don't know why that is. Like, why can't AEW get, you know, many names for the men's division. Why didn't they do that? Now they've got $1 billion. Fucking just throw money in the air, man. Just do it.
There's so many
from other companies.
Great wrestlers in the indies. There are legions of them in Japan.
Yeah, Kid Bandit? Mm. Oh, my God. Oh, my
Christ.
Kid Bandit. I would love to see Kid Bandit all the fucking time. Right?
All the time. Yeah. The thing is, like, I understand why you're trying to build stars from, you know, the bottom up, and Sky Blue, like, nothing against her. She, you know, seems like she'll be really fantastic someday. And she's got to get, you know, TV time so that she can get better. Right. Yes.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, every time she's on the screen and Nyla Rose isn't, you are fucking wasting my time.
Right.
There are so many amazing people on the roster.
Preach also, it, man. I don't want to feel like I'm giving like someone's charity. You know what I mean? Like there's some weird thing where I like, I know that everyone is kind of working harder to make it look better. And I know that I need to dial down my expectation because she's learning. And it's like, why do I have to put training wheels on my own eyeballs? Like, I don't want to do that. I don't even want to think about it. I want to just watch a good match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That being said, this is all, you know, we were given for the longest time, except for like 2-3 women that they allowed on TV for the longest time. So I don't know. I just don't understand AEW when it comes to women's division. It just pisses me off. So I don't even like to say anything bad at all. But
yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything bad either, because I'm glad they are building it up. Here's some thoughts, though, and tell me if any of this pings off you. I'm so happy to see a match where somebody else besides Britt Baker is helping put somebody else over. I think
100%.
Toni Storm is fantastic as that.
Yes. Yep.
Saraya wasn't there. She's apparently on leave for undisclosed reasons at the moment, so we'll see what happens. Don't know what's going on with that. What I do love about AEW, though, is they put the person over in their hometown. It's such a gratifying feeling.
It's very sweet.
There's also, and I do, there's definitely some green moments for our Sky Blue, but, and I used to be a lot more like judgmental about it until, I know it's a different federation, but when we saw Dominic Mysterio, every time he tries to do the Three Amigos and he can't get his hip to lock over, if you watch it, he can't do the move. It's like it stops and then he stops and then he has to do two rotations. It looks so horrible. So like, I give so much more forgiveness on like Sky Blue, who only had 20 matches before getting into AEW.
Yeah, man. Isn't that crazy?
That said, her Code Blue, that finisher.
Yeah.
Great. She nailed
it. Yeah.
It was really good. And, you know, again, I don't know anything. She's better than me. You know what I mean?
So. And just one last thing to jump off. I think the part that sucks about the whole Willow Nightingale thing is, like, I think she's the hottest in more ways than one. I have a big crush on her. But I think she's, like, the hottest female wrestler right now. She has so much momentum going for her. And it's when it happened to Jamie Hayter, it was like, it was undeniable. Like the clock was ticking. When do we give it to her? And like, here we have a similar situation with a person who already has a belt and we don't acknowledge. And by the way, they did acknowledge belts because like when Vikingo is doing a championship match, they announced CMLL or when Omega, remember he was like, when he had all the titles and that was part of the bit. He's this from North Carolina. Like they made it. They announced it. So like, I get a little upset because I'm a fan of Willow Nightingale. It's like, why are we short shrifting her on that? She's the best. She's great.
Mm-hmm. It's something they do to the women's division. I really don't get it. Like, it's just not what they ever do with the men's division. There wasn't a party for her. There wasn't a, you know, big announcement or just even a victory lap, man. Just have her do a stupid short interview with Shivani backstage. You know, if you're not going to do it in ring, then backstage, but she could do it in ring. She's a great talker, you know. She's still green, but she's good.
And 100%, we need more Nyla Rose. Just fantastic.
I keep waiting for the moment where Tony got called out for like not having any black wrestlers.
Right. Oh, I remember this. Yes.
And so, you know, like they kind of made a concerted effort and now there are a bunch of them. There are a bunch more coming in. Like they're like, oh, hey, wait a minute. Why don't we just have all of these wrestlers? Like a light bulb went off and now all these amazing people are coming in. Like I keep waiting for that light bulb moment where there's like, oh, we don't have to bury them in the third quarter the one women's match, and we don't have to like short sell, you know, everyone but Britt Baker. We could just like let them do what they do. We can get these fucking Japanese wrestlers who like legitimately are having just as hard hitting and brutal matches as the men, and and just let them do that instead of, you know, what we have. And
it's super annoying.
Keep waiting. Keep waiting.
Yeah. And with 5 hours of television, if Tony doesn't step it up, I really think that wrestling fans need to start some kind of petition.
Yeah.
Because like, it's so egregious. Egregious. WWE does a fantastic job featuring women's matches, you know what I mean? And women's storylines. Whatever. Whether they're good storylines or what, I don't know. But like, they're there, you know? Anyway, yeah.
Man, both of you are so like right on with these takes. It's a reminder of why I listen to this show so much. It's
thank you.
Yay.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to feature Nyla until she has some sort of revamp of her character. I don't know what that'll be.
Yeah.
But she should be. She should be the Miro of the women's division. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's like the native beast. And she's undeniable. She's scary. Fucking have her feature like that. Just give her some sort of bit where, I don't know, come up with some, oh, some shit happened to her over the weekend and now she's this. You know, like, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I want it exactly like that. Just like this.
I want you to get hit on the head and come back as Ethel Merman. Yes.
For what it's worth, Nyla is really funny. Like, what was it?
Yes.
That bit where she stole the TBS title.
Oh,
surprise, my favorite. Bitch.
Yeah. Oh.
That was fucking genius. And I was like, finally, they're going to run with something. And then they didn't.
They didn't. Mm-hmm.
God, that was such a boost, right? It really could have pushed everything forward.
Yeah, God, when you see that personality, you got to run with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I thumbs this match up, even though it could have been better, but I still liked it. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah. I also thumbs it up. There was some weirdness in there. Nigel called it out when Kevin Kelly said it. It was like, did you just liken her to an Italian beef sandwich? And it's like, yeah, yeah, okay. I'm certain that Kevin Kelly is not the best commentator in the world. Give him time, I guess.
Like, how do you compliment a woman? I don't know. I need to compare it to some other object I consume.
And then Nigel later on, like, really getting into his sort of heel commentator role. I think Sky Blue was in a hold, and so he's just going nuts. He's like, oh, the shame, the ingratitude, tap, tap, tap. Yeah. Which just was really over the top, and I was allowing it just because, like, okay, well, this is he's having a lot of fun, so I'm having a lot of fun. But
right. I like over the top, any over the top is good,
except for the part where he called her ski ball. That wasn't
hurtful.
Yeah, just he keeps mispronouncing the names. This Miro ski ball.
Okay. Oh, you. No, this was Nigel. Is your bit.
Who only
for a bit. Okay. Now I'm understanding.
It's a pattern game, folks.
See, I need to know what I'm getting into. And this is my problem with Calder and Robert too. Mm-hmm. It's like my brain's not there. So like I'm gonna be taken by surprise and you're gonna get the better of me. And they do it every time. Okay. Ricky Starks, he's also cutting a promo about the Owen Hart tournament, and it's an excellent promo because Ricky is excellent. I want to see him every single week, multiple times a week. For many hours. I think he should be in charge of everything. I think he should have all the belts. And having him and Hobbs both cut a promo for the Owen Hart tournament on the same episode made me think, are they going to have them face off at some point, like these former tag partners?
Yes, they are. Enemies. And it's going to be magical.
It would be cool, but I don't trust – right now, I really don't trust Tony. I don't trust him right now. So I don't think they'll do anything that cool. I don't know what it'll be, but it's going to be another Adam Cole thing, I bet.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I cannot wait till they get back together, Starks and Hobbs.
Yes, that was really fun. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm in too. I'm a fan of what he does. He just more time. He needs more time, more wins. Like, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah, I think I middled it just because, like, the disappointment came back for me. I'm like, yes, love Ricky. Yeah. Want more of this. And this was just like, hey, I'm going to be in that thing that everybody else is in. Bye. Give me more.
Yeah.
Very fair. Very fair.
And that was followed by a Jeff Jarrett promo about one of, you know, the Briscoes. And honestly, and I'm not like a huge Jeff Jarrett fan or anything. I thought this was great. This is really good.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it. This guy can cut a fucking promo. No wonder they hired him. You know?
Yeah. Dude's got the years on him.
He hasn't done really fun stuff this whole time because he has. And he's been doing good stuff this whole time. I'm just saying. Like, another reminder of like, oh, yeah, this guy's great.
I'm just trying to figure out like a concession stand match. I respect that, you know, this is a legacy thing, and like, yeah, we're gonna have like fun, like throwback kind of ideas, and Jeff Jarrett is, you know, this nostalgic voice, but a concession stand brawl, why for what?
Yeah, it was a very like arcane piece of history. Like, he could have been like 1976, Biloxi, Mississippi. It was the first time somebody threw a right hand and then a left hand. We invented that, and we're gonna do it again this Saturday night. Although I did like the part where he's like, I'm gonna kick your ass. I was like, yeah, oh, that's old man strength. He's gonna do it.
He's like, I can tell you all this and all that, but you know what? I'm just put it plainly, I'm gonna kick your ass.
So like, good. So good. I think the greatest work Jeff Jarrett did, though, was because if you remember, he got hired initially to help with like in-house shows. He was supposed to be a behind-the-scenes guy. Yeah. And then it seemed like he was like, hey, just give me one match. It's okay. And now he is on every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
You're like, we can't do it without you, Jeff.
He got TK good.
Look, I mean, I'm always going to be biased against old men wrestling because I saw it too much back in WWE, and it just, you know, it was the worst. And you're like, Jesus Christ, would you please just stop? But every time like Sting comes out, he always gives the most he has, and it never feels like everyone's kind of working around him just so that like old guy can have one last match. And friggin' Billy Gunn.
Oh yeah,
Jesus, the dude is a genetic freak. Scott Steiner just shot junk into his butt, but Billy Gunn, who maybe he does, I don't know. But he still is.
He's on the ridiculous Sylvester Stallone tip. I bet he's doing human growth hormone.
Probably.
Like stem cell drinks but or something.
Here's the thing. I could do all of the steroids in the world and I would not look like him as I am now. And he is older than I am. And Jeff Jarrett, like, I hated him in WWF. I was not a fan. He had X-Pac heat with me. I never wanted to see him. I was never happy about it.
Right.
And every time he has come out here, he has made me a believer. Like,
he's
yes,
my boy. I love him.
I enjoy what you are doing. I don't understand how this is possible, but here we are.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Yeah, nice. Thumbs up.
Sames.
We got Tony Schiavone in the ring, and he sounds like he's got a cold or some shit. It's the only time you see him, which is insane, because usually Tony's all over the place. But Tony Schiavone's in the ring because he's got to introduce Daddy Ass. And, you know, there's a fun Acclaimed rap, and then Daddy Ass had a new Scissors outfit. Anyway, so the Acclaimed were talking. And they were saying basically AEW stands for not only Acclaimed every Wednesday, but Acclaimed every weekend. And I was like, fuck. And they're like, and we're going to show up on Rampage too. And I was like, this just isn't healthy. It's not good for you guys. Like, is it really that audiences go that fucking nuts? And you do think you owe every audience like the chance to scissor or whatever the fuck?
They're like that in real life. My buddy, I mentioned earlier, Michael Hyman, he went to the All-Star game last year, which was in Los Angeles for baseball, huge baseball fan. So he's at the Home Run Derby and he's walking around taking the sights in, and he runs into Bowens.
Oh my God.
There. And, as soon as you realize who he is, he goes, you're from the Acclaimed. He's like, yeah. Hey man, you want a scissor?
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's the best. So, like, they can
sweet.
Do it all. Yeah. And then aww. They did the photo. And what I also like about the technique is not necessarily, I mean, the scissor is whatever, but just like the face that they make, the flapping of the gums, and it's the convulsion. Like
they're getting electrocuted at the same time.
Love those guys.
Our scissors all go into sockets, is what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, I can't, there's nothing to hate on with this segment. It was all pretty fun, pretty good.
Super. I'm waiting for that romper to come out. I'm going to buy it.
I'm
surprised it's not on Amazon right now where you can buy like the knockoff.
I bet someone made it on Etsy.
It's on Etsy or like Temu or it's somewhere. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one where like, I'm over it, and yet I can't not smile when they're doing it. So, yeah.
100, yeah.
Then we've got Bullet
also,
Club.
Also, real quick, because in between this, there's a rundown of, like, you know, what's coming up and next week and all that. And there's some sort of blind eliminator tournament, and this comes up every once in a while where TK pulls something out, and maybe it existed in the past, but I feel like if it doesn't pop immediately to mind for me, because I've been watching for 40 years, like it's a bit of a deep cut and you need to goddamn explain it.
Right.
Don't just be like, hey, we got a blind flubity match that's going to go down. Tell me what that is. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't even know. Like, I wasn't paying attention to that bit.
as well.
I was
you
like, "There's
not.
Stuff coming up. Whatever. I'm gonna go, you know, wash some dishes for a sec. I don't remember what I was doing, but I know I didn't pay attention. Because we had the ending night match right after this.
Oh, also, and here again is where Kevin Kelly said Kazuchika Okada. And I'm like, God damn it, this is a bit. It's not possible that you were. It's not. You can't have been a commentator for New Japan and called him Kazuchika Okada.
I don't know.
I am mad. I am just mad.
All right, so we've got Bullet Club Gold and Samoa Joe versus FTR and CM Punk.
Versus CMFTR, which you can now buy at shopaaw.com.
Comforter, yeah.
Jesus, there are multiple CMFTR shirts.
Really?
All right, I get it. I get it.
It's just too easy to put up on pro wrestling tees.
I guess. But for the record, I am here for Juice and Jay and Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
That is why I am here for this main event.
Oh, sure. I love me some Samoa Joe.
We've got, okay, so in the promo that Punk had cut for the Wednesday Night Dynamite, it looked like he had put on some muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in the shoulders. I was like, whoa, shoulders got big. But then when he came out, I was like, oh, he didn't put on muscle, but it does look like he slimmed down a bit. So he obviously is fitter than he was when he first came back to AEW.
Sure.
I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the fact that he had to retrain some muscles because he tore off one from his fucking bone. So I'm sure there was a lot of like alternate type of workouts he had to do to get his other muscles to overcompensate a little bit to then help
right.
that one heal. I don't know. I don't fucking know. But so anyways, that's just
quick question. Could it also be
I'm sorry, what was that? You're far away from your mic.
I'm sorry. I agree with everything that you just said, but could there also be a further optical illusion with the fact that he shaved his head?
Well, his head was shaved in the promo also, but there is something to that, possibly. Because during the match, I was also noting that he doesn't look extremely exhausted like he used to. However, he was good in point. A trios match, so he really wasn't working the whole time like he was in some of the other matches that he did.
No.
So, you know, I can't really say one way or the other.
I think Joe and Bullet Club worked their asses off. I love Juice Robinson. You know, every time he'd get flipped, it's a pyah or wow.
Yeah, no.
Like the sound so effects good. That he adds are the best. This
match was a showcase of yes. Juice Robinson for me.
Because
he was in there yes. so long and he was doing so much fun stuff that I was like, I liked you before. I love you now.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I totally agree with this. I'm like, why have you been hiding all of these wonderful people, Tony? How dare you? You know, why did it take this long?
Well, a bunch of my other wrestling friends who watch a lot more Japanese wrestling than I do were already high on Juice before he came in. So I was sort of like, when he first showed up, I was like, this is the guy you're, I don't really see.
Yeah.
It.
Really?
But, yeah. But then you get him, you know, like find their pace. And then, you know, just a few weeks later, you're like, oh, that's what I was missing. And it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, this was a really fun match. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. It's like FTR was great. Samoa Joe was great. CM Punk did his thing. And I was actually – there was a moment when I was like, oh, they're not going to have him win this time. But then, of course, he did. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's right. Not a surprise. But
my favorite moment of the match is the match is going along fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Made Punk gets tagged in. He comes in. The audience is roaring. Him and Joe face off. They're talking smack to each other. And just that first chop that Samoa Joe
yes.
gave to CM, it's still reverberating through space. And yes. aliens are like trying to decipher that Morse code. Because like it was great too, was like Punk was like, he came in bulldogging, all tough. He gets chopped. Like part of his chest is now missing. And you saw him take a step back for a minute of like,
I'm just going to shut up.
literally his heart stopped and his brain's like, you're fucked. Like, don't poke the bear.
Yeah. And I thought Joe just, he's so, I mean, he's lost a step from his early days. Obviously when you're around for like 20 years, that happens, but he's just, he's just such like, a wall.
Yeah.
I just, Samoa Joe is one of the like wrestlers that I would like be legit scared to see in person, like upset. You're just like, oh.
Can you imagine if somebody like tried to start a bar fight with Samoa Joe and then he chopped them in the chest and that's all he did? Literally nobody can deal with that shit.
Yeah, it's just oof. FTR was fantastic. I hate to say it, but it's true. Like I as a biggest fan as I am, I know I still take them for granted because they're always just working just so good.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. And that was one of those things too. I was thinking about how, you know, Punk is so safe right now. He's being so well protected in this match because CM Punk FTR will always make everybody look good, always do. But the fact that everybody in this match, Smojo's worked through lots of injuries in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Jay White or Juice Robinson, but, you know, they're very entertaining. They can do a lot of stuff. And that combined with FTR being, you know, the people that would be helping CM Punk or surrounding CM Punk just makes it look like a much better match. And I don't know, but it was pretty good booking.
Yeah. I think maybe that's, you know, I think for the whole show, it seems like that we're talking about is a lot of people putting other people over, a lot of good bumping, a lot of support. And I think that's what makes that show or this episode exceptional to me. Cause it just, everybody was selling really good. The almost all the matches, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
This last one fell a little short for me because I don't know. It's just like all of the hype, all of the buildup, the delivery of it was.
I see.
It was sort of what it was. Like it was fun to see that big pop when, you know, Punk and Joe kind of get in the ring, like, right. And then you'll pull up on YouTube their trilogy of matches from 20 years ago. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
Right.
The fact both even going at all and even walking is a friggin' miracle. Much less being as, you know, dominant as they are. But at the end of the day, like, I don't particularly care what Punk is doing.
Right. Yeah.
FTR, you know, like I'm happy to see him, you know, and I love to watch him wrestle, but like, I don't have any real, I kind of want to see him fight the guns again, but like, I don't really know what they're doing here. And Robinson White and Joe together are just kind of like, one of those super teams, like the mega powers, when you put together Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, and it doesn't really mean anything. It's just a bunch of amazing people smushed together. Like the story is not pushing me anywhere. So at the end of this, it wasn't like at the end of what was that earlier with Andrade and Buddy, where you're like, oh yeah, I want to see what next week is.
Well,
it's a thing, and it's now it's done.
I was just thinking it's. Okay, so if you're going to have a brand new show, right, and you need to get eyeballs on it, but you can't use the Elite, who can you use, right? It's going to be FTR. And the thing is this whole Saturday night seems to hinge on CM Punk. And that's a very poor plan because unless it's Chicago, I don't know. I just don't understand – like what it is that people like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying like, you can't plan a whole new show around the guy.
I think that's a great point you're making. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so for me, as my, I liked the match and the, I gave the match a thumbs up. Was it what I would expect for someone hinging an entire fucking new show on a single person? No. Do I think Tony is hinging this whole show on CM Punk? Well, he certainly seems to, because right. he made such a big deal out of drawing out these announcements about CM Punk. But then also, everyone knows that the Elite and CM Punk will never be on the same fucking night, which is weird. It's very weird. And so because of that, then yeah, it sort of does hinge on CM Punk, right? And that's unfortunate. Because if he can't pull it off, what are you going to do? I mean, obviously, they'll just move right. on and...
Well, to further supplement this excellent point you're making, the first episode is in the United Center in Chicago, where, like, you heard that rousing, like, you know, applause he got. He's mm-hmm. not going to be, like, a face everywhere, you know? Right. Especially exactly. if they come to L.A., which is, you know, Bucks territory, for better or worse. Like... you yeah, know
exactly you know, and every time oh god, where was it, there was like a real mixed crowd, there was an announcement made, I think it was CM Punk, they announced he was going to be somewhere or something like that,
and yeah, he's going to be on like Dynamite 50, on 50. Wednesday,
it was like
yeah.
the crowd was booing and cheering, so it was kind of like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen, but
yeah,
I don't remember where that was or what was going on now. So why
I mean, even talk about it? The ticket sales for the next month, not great. So like, it's a risk. And I mean, Tony's got $1 billion now, so he can afford it. but like, right. yeah, I hope the show finds its pace before too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's. If I had the choice between buying tickets to Dynamite or Collision, I'd buy Dynamite, because I am never risking the opportunity of losing my chance of seeing Kenny Omega. You know what I mean?
Right.
Never.
Sorry, is Powerhouse Hobbs going to be on Collision? Well, then I guess I know where I'll be.
All right. Well, I also think he'll be on Dynamite, so I don't think he'll be exclusive to Collision. I don't want them to do the thing that WWE did.
Look, wherever Serpentico is at, that's where I'm at. You know what? Dr. Luther. Let's be real, guys. It's Serpentico. Yeah, that's
was it. Dr. Luther, or is it just Luther?
It used to be Dr. Luther. Now it's just Luther.
Okay. Anyways. This is an 83% show, which is fine. You know, you'd kind of hope for a little bit better for a first show. And certainly there are people who thought this was a 100% show. More power to them. But I think they're doing fine. They'll be okay. It'll all work out.
I have high hopes. I have high hopes.
Just Spence, I did not give you a chance to pimp your stuff at the beginning of the show. I apologize. Okay. For the people who did not make it this far, they should still find you. Where can they find you?
Hopefully. You can find me at a whole bunch of places. I think we do our best work on the Super Legit podcast, which you have been a guest on. And I hope to have both of you guys on sometime. It's a good – we have fun at least. So
it is a delight.
Great. So you can find me at Super Legit Pod, at Super Legit Pod, or my personal Instagram at JP Spence. I also do film reviews and music reviews. So if you ever check out the Canyon Chronicle, it's kind of like the LA Weekly, but for Malibu and Santa Monica and Pacific Palisades and that region, you can find my writing there.
Sweet.
And just thank you very much for having me. I really have listened to the show for, I don't know, almost better part of like 9 months, I'd like to say, almost at this point. I think it's a great
noise.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's as fun being on the show as listening to it. So it's been a real treat for me. So thank you.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much.
We're doing good in the world.
Robert keeps proving to me that people listen to this show.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Jacked.
Good night, everybody.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom. Ding, 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 ding.